All right, so we want to group people back together, and I know there are some people still out of the hall, but listen, try to focus back in, because this is going to be a focused discussion. In December, you guys got together and created some strategic plans for going forward. So we have incorporated into the agenda an opportunity with the facilitators to talk about the strategic plans that you developed and kind of where you're at today and next steps. And Marie's going to participate in this as well. So I will turn it over to Lauren and to Tara, who are our facilitators, to help with that conversation.
Thank you.
Terrific. Thanks, everybody. Well, we certainly didn't want to separate you in any way because we really feel like one of our observations that Tara and I had in the back here is that during this first presentation, we were only hearing from other presenters. We weren't hearing from you all as coaches. And so we want to make sure that we have the time during facilitation to make sure that you all have voices, and then to ensure that we're getting the takeaways that we want out of this long day together today. So we come in as an outside perspective, so it's very objective in that case, and really our role is just to help us all think and help us get some progress out of, again, the content that we're learning together today. And so Tara and we're pretty informal people. Hopefully you'll learn that pretty quickly. So please don't be scared by us at all, even though our title
says facilitator on it.
If you're not talking to us, or even if you are, we will stimulate conversation by passing you some balls. These are actually, they can hurt if you're not looking. So many of us in the health profession make sure that we teach our young people that when you toss something, you have eye contact. Right? If we knew each other better, we would also use names, so that would be good. So if you're not speaking back to us, if we're not having a discussion verbally, I will get my balls out. Okay? All right. Just safe.
Thanks
for the warning. You're welcome. You're welcome. So the last little part of the presentation that we just experienced was a perfect segue into what Tara and I want to learn from all of you. How many of you feel, just raise your hands, or if you want to do a thumbs up or whatever you want to do, how many of you are very familiar with the term career pathway? Slightly. Okay, how about industry sector? How about sector partnership? These are not loud and proud hands, by the way. I'm only seeing here. So if you rise it loud and proud, other people will see you. Okay, so we still are not, it's not full consensus, I'm noticing. So it's not everybody feeling this way. So that's what we wanted to get a temperature of, is where do you come from, and how do you feel these terms or language are being played out in your state, and in what ways do they look? How do they look? How do they hear? How do you hear about them? How do you taste, touch, feel them, basically? So I noticed I was starting to figure out who we all are in the room here, and I could be wrong, but we all are square states. We have Montana, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
We have Ohio back here, yes?
Yes.
We've got Wyoming. Yes. We've got CO, Colorado.
You're missing South.
And who else are we missing?
South Dakota.
That's another square state.
And Alaska, who is not represented here.
And Alaska's kind of funny, but they could be a little square. Here we go. We'll make them funny.
New York State is.
And then New York.
Is triangle.
Are you Jersey, though?
No, I'm actually in New York.
Okay.
I'm kind of telling you.
Okay.
Really?
So that's, yeah, so Alaska and New York throws off a little bit. How's New York go? Up here? That's a really bad, yeah, that's a bad one. Anyway.
Not to scale.
Not to scale. Here's my artistic rendition. Tara's going to lead us through a discussion, though, noticing who we are. We want to find out where you're at with the career pathways and sector ideas.
And maybe let's talk about Judy, Mark, and Kelly's presentation first. Maybe just some basic, how do you feel about, what was your takeaway? What did you learn? What would you like to do? What do you think that you could replicate if you want to replicate something like this? So maybe we can just go around and take turns and just kind of put Judy's presentation into perspective a little bit.
I think South Dakota is doing it on a smaller scale, obviously, because we don't have 30. We have four. But
you have four?
Well, just we're so wide, far apart, mile-wise. But having worked in the hospital prior to this position, like our CEO of the hospital meets regularly with the other hospitals, and us as Lake Area, we have advisory councils for each program that meets twice a year, and on those are, like, the MLT advisory board has a rep from Avera and Sanford and Prairie Lakes, and it's their vice president and their director of that program. And together they formulate the classroom structure and the courses and what's missing, what's going well, what's not.
Are you in official sectors in South Dakota?
No.
Not
official sectors?
No.
And are you a part of those conversations?
The advisory councils, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm still soaking it in.
Okay.
You'll have to ask Carrie.
Okay, Carrie.
But for me, it just feels so big, I think. And I know Montana with the AHECs, we're, like, moving towards this, but I think I still feel really separate from it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think our faculty and programs are still, like, wanting to control it and stay separate. When they were talking about the nurses, I'm like,
yeah. Well, and I know because our AHECs so far in Colorado have not been part of our sector partnerships, which is really interesting.
What's that stand for?
Yeah.
Most of them.
What is that,
AHEC? Oh, it's the Area Health Education Centers. And, yeah, and so there's been a disconnect there, but as Judy had mentioned, or maybe it was Kelly, that Colorado is local control. And we'll just put that out there for everything. I mean, just not their workforce development centers. It is local control for our school districts, our AHECs, and it just seems like we have a million silos. So what our sector partnerships have done for us here is at least hold some of this together a little bit. So, but we still have a long way to go. So, go ahead.
Well, I'm Montana as well, so
okay.
It's basically the same, but as far as, like, working with industry, all of our programs definitely have the advisory boards and are always going back and forth. What do you need? What can we do? You know, that kind of stuff. But it's within our Great Falls area. It's not it's hard to statewide because we are very spread out.
Yep.
Right. So,
well, let me ask you another question. Where do you start your focus? Are you starting it in the high school level? Are you starting it post-secondary level? Where is
they're
your
moving
focus?
Towards starting it in high school. Montana's kind of just moving towards things.
Okay. And I'm going to throw out another term for you, POSA. Have you heard of POSA?
Mm-hmm.
Future Health Professionals. That's our secondary, moving on to post-secondary leadership. So I just wanted to throw that out there. And then I'm going to throw another term out there, NISHE, National Consortium for Health Science Education. Okay, I can talk more about that a little bit later. So, okay.
I'm writing acronyms here, alphabet soup. This is the alphabet section of the board.
Jeremy, is there anything you want to add?
Not really. I mean, this is all outside of.
Talk a little bit about your position, the kind of work that you're doing right now with Southern Colorado Sector.
Well, you know, a lot of that is still kind of in the preliminary because I was just introduced to the Sector Partnership as a data analyst recently, and unfortunately, the last face-to-face meeting that they had, we were out of town, so I wasn't able to really, you know, get in on what it is that they're really doing. As far as where they're at right now, they're in that survey methods mindset where they're trying to go out to every single healthcare organization that they can get their hands on to survey to ask them what is it that you guys are looking for, what are the gaps, the people that you can't retain, why aren't they retained, tell us what's going on so that way we can take that back to education and training and start to address those issues. So, you know, kind of like it's moving towards it, they're in the data gathering.
That's amazing. And Lauren and I were talking, because I'm a member of the Greater Denver Healthcare Metro Partnership. I messed that up.
Whatever that thing is.
Yes. And so because I'm from the community college, but I'm over programs all the way from middle school through post-secondary, through the community college. So we're trying to start our pathways here a little bit earlier and to introduce students to those maybe in-demand careers while they're in high school and help them go a certain way, you know. But they have been very helpful with what I'm doing, so.
And Ann, say your questions again, because I'm hearing it and then I'm wanting to make sure.
Okay, just what was your takeaway from Judy's presentation, if anything, and what's going on in your state?
It is that same thing as these other rural or frontier areas of how do we scale it down, how do you, and it's more working with one hospital.
Mm-hmm.
End of story. And a little bit in the offices. So right now we're kind of in a rebuilding phase. We do have our advisory committee meetings that we are working with the different groups within Cheyenne area, but we know that we have some that have left, and so it's that was one of my takeaways of really making sure that we can not just go and get in touch with the people that are the billing and coding folks, but then maybe working again with HR instead of just those billing and coding folks, because it's pretty tumultuous over at the hospital. And so we need someone who's not going to turn over every 6 months.
Right, and the HR on the board have been key. They're kind of like the glue that holds everything together. So they've been key on that board that I've...
Same with your data folks. So that's why it's great that you're here.
Yeah.
Because they, too, tend to stay longer.
I'm Christy. I'm at the Red Rocks. Mundy and I, when we first started, we met with Judy. And didn't hear back. We went to the sector conference. We actually got to go, which was amazing. It was really exciting to be there. But well, I think what I saw, and I know Mundy and I have talked about it, we're kind of, with our CNA program, we don't fit what they're looking for. And it'd be so nice, like you talk about, we need to scale it down somehow, because I get calls every day from agencies looking for CNAs or for caregivers. So I'm grabbing her. Help us out. We just need to figure out where can we bring... I wish we could bring all these employers together. Uh-huh. And I think they would, because they're so desperate. I think they'd even share the workforce if they could.
Right.
So I think just at a lower scaling it down. I shouldn't say lower level. It's
Judy has such a big area. Yeah. And Judy, I mean, honestly, went to those meetings, and it was over and above anything that I've ever seen. And I know the other sectors that have started up aren't near as big.
As big.
But... yeah.
So are there, you say that there are other sectors that we could get involved with?
Yes.
Oh.
And I actually have the map with me.
I
can show it.
I shared it too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do.
Because Lauren just shared it with me, not with everybody else, but I've seen it so many times, so it's...
Right. So, yeah, for sure.
I just think it's really exciting because I have the opportunity to go to many of the sectors across the state back in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just healthcare, it was manufacturing, energy, aerospace, and to see one that has taken off and really institutionalized itself is really exciting.
Right.
So you're saying health has taken off?
Yeah, I mean, okay. In terms of, I think, the sectors that I know about, at least in Colorado, it just seems that it's a very different beast, and I think possibly because of the employment trajectory is very different than in terms of where the economy is and where manufacturing is, where energy is, that there have been a lot of starts and stops and whatever, you know, with wind energy and the sunsetting or potential sunsetting of tax credits, and so they've let go of people. And so I think the fact that healthcare is here to stay is very different than in many of the other sectors, and I think that maybe is part of the glue where the other sectors perhaps have not been as successful. So I think that was exciting to see how far they've gone, and I guess my big thing is always how can we replicate it on different scales and in different communities, given the fact that people can't drive. I mean, I think the face-to-face nature that you can do in the Metro Denver area is very different than some of the more rural states, and how can you replicate when, in fact, you're in the rural?
Right.
So Suzanne, is that your role within this work, too? Do you help create those models and do the research on it, or what?
Well, we look at models. We're looking, and, you know, one of the things I think we want to do is, you know, it's really ground up. I mean, people have models and they look down, but I think what Rutgers is trying to do very much is look ground up, is what is the experience on the ground and how can we then conceptualize it and then see what's working and what's not working, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. So when I hear about sector models or I hear about what's worked and why it's worked, I want to really see, is it because of personalities? Is it because of an energy? Is it because of the industry need? And I think that's why I was mentioning the economy before, because if you don't look at all those, and Jeremy and I were just talking last night about the difference between a quantitative and a qualitative, and that analyst, and I'm qualitative, and it's always context.
Yeah.
And so that's why I don't want to take more time.
We'll hear from you.
Okay. And I want to say yes to all your questions on, is it personality, is it... Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we know that. And so then what do you do? And then the geography. I mean, I live in New York and Manhattan. It's very different than, you know, going to the grocery store 20 miles away.
Right. Uh-huh. Right.
And for some, that's close.
Yes. Or Sam's 70 miles away.
Wow. Okay, we're going to switch gears just a little bit.
Can't forget about Ohio.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're supposed to be sitting up here, but that's okay.
Here.
Well, I guess we're coming up this week. We have a program we're going to share with you, and I love hearing about a system they've created, because we are generally program rich and system poor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that said, we're moving towards career pathways. I'll share with you some work that we're tangentially part of that is working. The college is working with the high school system and the middle schools to build career pathways. We had an initiative in the logistics industry, a sector project that was very successful and ended up not being sustained because in the end, the employers wouldn't pay. So it's just wonderful to hear what they've done and now have the buy-in from the employers.
Right.
Well,
that's great. Okay, cool. Sorry. Now we'll switch gears a little bit. Let's review your strategic plans that you've all done. Share your progress, your success stories, and any obstacles that you may have had. And your obstacles, I'd like to hear maybe if you had anticipated some of these obstacles, you know, if you could, or if there were totally new obstacles that came your way that you wouldn't have anticipated. So we'll just go around again if that's okay.
If not, I can always toss you the balls.
I can
throw us a little, you know, get us a little thinking differently.
I went to my car to try to find something, one of those squishy balls. I had one in my car, and my daughter must have taken it out. So
I usually
got the heavy-duty balls.
And I usually travel with other fun squishy balls.
This one is actually, they're just tennis balls in an old sock, but you put them on your back when you're driving. Have you all done this before? I mean, talking about health stuff.
It's
awesome. And then you move it wherever you feel, but you're just pushing up against your car seat when you're driving. It's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm saying. Self-care, everybody. Let's go popcorn just to
you
not...
You want to go popcorn?
Yeah.
Okay, watch out.
So get your minds into your strategic plans. We didn't bring them with us.
Yeah,
we thought you would have them at least in your forethought. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
So let's go first with the fun stuff, the successes, yeah?
Go for it.
Okay, cool. Would, South Dakota?
I'm Montana.
Oh, you're Montana?
I
don't want the ball.
South Dakota.
Let's go, Montana.
So this whole strategic planning, for us, it's evolving all the time. Let's not do that. So this is a little bit outdated. I don't know. I have different notes all the time. We kind of broke down our plan into, well, I guess we did that at our last meeting also, into the students, the faculty, and workforce. So we separated things out that way. I think for us, successes was definitely getting an employer outreach coordinator on board. One, because that's not my wheelhouse. That's not my comfort level, and you know, been struggling with that this whole duration. So this is
line things up for me, and I can say, oh, this is what we thought would be really good. Go ahead.
They just never told me.
But with the hub getting implemented, I think the faculty that have come to our demo and presentations are super excited about it and wanting students to get on it. And then we have some faculty that have related businesses, so they're wanting to come on it from that end too. So it's kind of like ripple effect coming quickly, which is exciting also that we have actually this thing that we can offer.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is it getting to the point where it's moving too quickly, or are you feeling pretty secure?
Well, it's so big. There's things that, like the activation code thing, I didn't realize that for new users. I don't know. There's been like little wrenches, but it's learning. But it's really nice to have that tangible thing. I think getting the employers on there, so the students have something to look at, and then getting the employers buy-in that students are going to be on. So it's kind of that symbiotic.
So you talked about some of your obstacles. Do you any others that you can that you've overcome? Because obviously you're overcoming your obstacles.
Obviously.
You brought Scott on.
Oh no. Always. I think there's absolutely successes. I love working with the students, and when they're ready to, the ones that access the support for employment are pleased and come out of it feeling more confident, and seeing them going into the workforce with confidence is certainly my being fulfilled. That's, I think, my personal, my feeling.
So what are your future plans? Where do you see yourself going from here?
I hope we've got all of these notes.
Carrie, let's talk about how Scott's going to fit in the employer piece.
Okay.
So I'm going to be more focused on the campus pieces instead of going to so many different directions. Mm-hmm. So my focus is on with faculty and students, and you know, from the recruitment part of it to the current students to the employer piece, and then with faculty getting that hub as part of when they're in the programs, because we kind of lose them. That's been something that we're all aware of, that I lose them when they're in the programs because they're busy and they're kind of contained in the programs, and then when it's time for them to go out in the workforce, they're kind of coming back. So my focus is really on campus, really, on the education piece, and then Scott's gonna really be that liaison between the employers and the programs.
So you're like a transition specialist in a way, too?
That's the hope.
Okay.
So I'm hearing this need. I think that's
okay. So now you have a new title as well.
So the specialist.
Yeah.
Carrie, can you just clarify for me? I heard you say get faculty involved in the hub. Are you talking about asking them to embed it into the courses? What do you see happening?
So far, the ones that were at our demo and everything are excited about it and want their students to have access to it, but it's at different levels, of course, you know. But they are, you know, definitely wanting me to come get them registered and get their profiles updated and all of that. Not necessarily as an assignment, but giving class time for that to happen. So it will happen, which is good, because otherwise it doesn't. And then, you know, because I guess one of my selling points when I was presenting was that because the government is viewing employment as a completion, as a success, rather than degree completion, and that comes down to the responsibility of the program. So that's something that I can take off of their, that can help take off of their plate and help with developing that ready career readiness. So
that's great. Is there anything that you would do differently? If you do it again, is there anything that you change or
all the time? And that's, I think, our plan is constantly changing, too, and we're striking out. We're not going to do this now. We're changing it. It's always evolving.
So do you have set times for reflection? Like, do you ever set?
We meet, Emily and I meet, like, every other week. And so we kind of review where we are with what we went over last time, and if this didn't happen and I don't see it being useful anymore, so we strike it out and we might replace it with something else or kind of go a different route with it. So we're doing that pretty much every other week.
Anything else, Maria?
Anyone else from Monty and Melissa?
Well, I could go, but I'm totally different.
Well, yeah, oh, then. That was it. That was a sad.
It was more like a sad.
Yeah.
Well, my goals, I guess I'll just look on here. The recruitment plan, the sim name contest. We have this really cool new simulated mannequin that can do all kinds of cool things. But so we're going to, we still haven't done this contest yet. We're working up to it. And so it's basically going to be kind of just a series of pictures of the of paramedic students working with him and all the kind of the cool things that he can do. Mm-hmm. And then, so it's kind of like, here's our cool thing, now be involved in, you know, figuring out the name. And so it's a way to say, here's the cool things we're doing at our college, in our simulated hospital, you know, to get awareness on campus and also off campus.
So students can, love those.
Yeah.
So wait, it's a contest.
We have online programs, too, that online people can watch the video and put it in their name.
Do you ever bring, or your mannequin's new, so have you thought about bringing in high school students to come tour? And
they that's what, another thing that we've already done.
Okay,
we just
great.
Did it last week. So so that's up and coming. And still, you know, we were hoping to have it that we were going to get trained on the full functionality of the mannequin over break, but it didn't happen. It's not for another couple of weeks, so we're just going with what we know how to do, because the one guy came and trained us on the basics, so we can at least do that and show that part, because it's already cooler than all the other mannequins here. So
the moaning and groaning.
Well, he can sweat. And
oh, they're amazing.
Mouth. I mean, it's
oh, they're amazing.
Yeah, you can go to another room with a microphone and make him talk. And there's speakers to hear what the students are saying.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Yeah. Are you giving incentives for students to participate in this activity?
Well,
I heard you say contest.
It's a contest that you win, like some a gift certificate at the store or something like that.
Okay.
So. Yeah, that's great, just to bring awareness to what's happening on the campus.
Right, exactly, because half the students are too scared to even go down to the simulated hospital.
Oh, I'm sure.
And part of that is just educating the people on campus to know that they can go down there to see what's happening. Because I've heard one lady giving a tour that was like, but don't go down there. And I was like,
what?
Yes, go down there, because it's really cool.
Oh,
you're not in
yeah.
class. So
maybe you need to move it up.
So part of it is, you know, just that people on, even the people that work on campus don't understand. And we're working really hard.
Marketing signs or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Come on in.
Well, and we've been doing things like they have kind of a, they have what, Spirit Week, and you go to a different part of the college for, you know, like one place has the drinks, one place has this, and so the Sim Hospital last year had something. So people had to come down, and all the students were like, whoa, this place is all, you know, they had no idea. So, and even faculty came down, and people that, and staff that worked there that had never come down the stairs. So that was. But anyway, totally digressing.
That is great.
Not
shoot that haunted house. I remember the first time I walked into our CNA lab with the bloody guy, and some student had sat it up on the chair, and I was supposed to do the security walk, and I look in the classroom and I go, oh, I don't want to go in there. You know, and I came back and I go, okay, I got to have the guts to go in there and tell that student to leave.
Yeah.
Out of me.
Yeah. They did actually do a haunted house.
Yeah.
People were pretty freaked out.
Yep.
Anyway. Does Matt have a name?
Not yet. That's the best.
That's the
best.
Yeah.
So when is that content going to happen?
Hopefully within the next couple weeks. Yeah. We're working on our marketing department had a big shifts again, so we had to kind of recuperate, and they have a work study, and then Linda's working on a video. So very soon, it will be.
So Kristen, knowing that many of us in education struggle with getting funding to support marketing materials, because typically a lot of our grants don't permit marketing, what are some ways that you're thinking about brainstorming with business and industry in the area to support that endeavor?
To support the mannequin?
The marketing, the advertising, getting that attention.
Well, it's mostly through our marketing department at this point, because they're kind of on board with doing it. And it's going to be social media and emails to everyone on campus. It's more campus-based than community-based for that one.
So that's great, though, but you're marketing, you're partnering with your marketing department, yes. Which is
yep.
Awesome.
Yep. It's great. Working very closely with that. So, yeah. So that was only one of the things on my list.
Go ahead, keep going.
So exciting. the other thing is the denied student list, which hasn't happened yet because those haven't happened yet, but that's going to be really easy. We also were hiring a new person in our department that is going to be doing those. So now that she's in the group, I'm going to be talking to her about just adding our CHEO programs on there, saying, hey, you didn't make it into this, but here's some other options. So that's just kind of another way to get the word out. And I have gone through the classes and introduced the hub, and all the students were interested, but I'm going to have to go back again just to kind of say, hey, don't forget. And I've also been doing mock interviews with the students. They send me their resume, and then I call to contact them to set up an interview, and they come and do a mock interview with me. So that is getting them more comfortable with me. So
right.
The next time I go and say, hey, you should get on this hub, here's some more career resources for you, I think it's going to be an easier sell than the first time, like, hi, I've never seen me before, or some of you sort of know who I am, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Great.
So I think that's going to have a little bit more. And I also said I was going to use Facebook, which now I've changed to Twitter, and I've sent one tweet, so working on getting that.
That's a start.
Hey, hashtag ignoring Jamie. anyway, and then I also have gone and attended workforce employer meetings, just reminding them that we're there and what our new programs are and all that kind of stuff. And then last week we had our career and job connections fair, which is when those high school students came. They used to have a career fair for high school students every 2 years, and I started a job connections fair last year, so we had this brainstorm to combine them this year and get the employers to only have to come one time to campus.
That's great.
So the morning was high school students going through, and we told the schools bring people that are interested in medical careers, you know,
right.
And so they came and they had they started kind of like yours with a demo that was somebody came to have a heart attack, the paramedics came in and took care of them, and then they talked about all our programs, and then the students went down to the SIM hospital, saw all of our faculty and our students and learned about all of this stuff and got to, you know, listen to heartbeats and listen to breathing and do all that kind of stuff. And see the SIM mannequin.
How many students came?
We had about 150.
That's great.
Students from the surrounding area. So,
great.
So then in the afternoon, it was the job connections fair where our students could talk to the employers and give them resumes and hopefully make connections for jobs. So that was another way. And the workforce people came to that. I was going to say that whole thing. So they came and also made connections with employers and students.
Those are great.
How many of your states have some sort of career and academic planning process that occurs with middle school or high school students? Something that helps you identify who those students are that have an interest in health? Okay, so Montana.
Let's say
South Dakota.
Who should, because in Colorado, we have one, and it's just beginning, but a lot of our schools are not really jumping on board yet, and that's Lauren's job, but she's really getting them out there and getting excited, but it's part of their graduation requirements is to have what's called an ICAP. So are some of you
doing it on, are they doing it on their own, or are they?
Well, what I really want to know, actually, is when you said that you had this job connections fair and there were students that were invited that had identified as being interested in health, that's what I wanted to hear, is how many of you take time to intentionally ask your high school feeders which of your students can you pull from their interest inventories that they've taken that would prove that they are indeed interested in health, even in the slightest way or in a big way?
And I think that's part of how that happened.
Okay.
Because we have what's called the MCIS, Montana Career Information Systems,
okay,
which is a lot like the hub. It has a lot of the same features. And so in middle school,
yeah,
they start doing the hub and figuring out what they're going to do to plan for going into high school.
Okay.
And awesome. Actually in Great Falls, they just started a new thing where you can graduate with an emphasis. There's like four different areas, and one of them is healthcare.
So awesome.
So they identified. So Anne, what's going on in your state? You were kind of
smiling.
I just know last year, and I wasn't on this last one, but we purchased cooler seats for all of our district 1 and 2, so all the county within Laramie County, which is Cheyenne area. And I'm snickering because we looked at some of the stats and went, one person out of 100 seats took a test, which was a $300 test then. So they aren't really utilizing it. It was a big push several years ago, and a lot of the counselors and folks haven't followed through. My sixth grader, I know, brought home some information on career pathways, but I think it's still in his backpack, and it will be for weeks. So I don't know what they actually talk about, but I know that at least it's in a sixth grader's backpack as they make decisions for seventh grade and up. But I don't know. Give me 6 years and I'll figure out what they do.
Right.
But actually, it's not our job to figure out what they're doing just now. It's really our job right now in your campus with your current position, knowing that you could gain from their work. How do you convey back to them that you are their partner in that work and that the work that they will do, you can help them with, but also it won't be in vain. Like, you'll be using their data and the students that come to you with a real purpose.
Yeah.
And that would be hopefully the message that you get out of that.
I think it's super important too that we are recognizing that employers are saying we have to grow our own,
yeah,
and keep our own, especially in the rural communities.
Yes.
And that's one of the big deals happening,
yeah,
in Southern Colorado. And one of the reasons the TEO project is in existence, because we've got to figure out how to tap into and develop the local talent. That's the place to start.
Right.
And I think to further that argument, when you're looking at your CNA, a CNA is not going to move across the country to look for employment. They can't afford to do that. Or they're just not going to go anywhere. And so it is grow your own of, look, here's an online program where if you're in rural Wyoming and you can't leave your canyon, we hope you have that network. But they aren't going to leave. They're not going to pack up for a $14 job.
Right.
They'll stay and get trained, hopefully, in that area and keep working at their one office that they've been in for 10 years.
And that brings up with the career pathways, the multiple educational entry and exit points. And so we have to think about, okay, but if there's nothing more there than CNA, but they want to go on to nursing,
right,
they've got to be able to,
right,
easily
articulate,
yes,
that. Right, that's part of it.
Keith had a comment.
Yes, I'm sorry to go back to Kristen, but I had a suggestion about the mock interviewing. I know you're trying to get to know them, but also what we do in our program is that we have employers come in and actually practice with them. I don't know if that's what you do as well, but that's a way to facilitate it and also be able to get employers in, get their foot in the door, and get to know students earlier as they're going through their training.
Good one.
That's
that partnership. Then they see, oh, Kristen needs help. I'll give her $1,000 to do some programming or something.
Anything else, Kristen, or are you ready to pass your boss?
No, I'm going to stop talking. I have a question for
sure.
Lauren. Can we find out about the program you're working with the high school?
No.
Yeah,
I guess. I didn't know about it.
No. Oh, really?
No.
Well, for many states in South Dakota, you raised your hand, too, in saying that you do individual career and academic planning in some way with middle school and high school students. Colorado does have an ICAP, ICAP, Individual Career and Academic Plan. It is legislated, so it's law, for grades 9 through 12. They are to have access to and assistance with building an ICAP. Being a local control state, which many of us are here in this room, what that looks like in 176 different school districts is 176 right. different ways. And then it even looks different in each of the classrooms, which found in each of the buildings. But the shift right now in 2015 is that we've refreshed what ICAP can be in the state of Colorado. No longer is the message just that it's legislated and that it's mandated. Now the message is it's integrated, it's meaningful, and it has more purpose. It's now tied to our graduation guidelines. In Colorado, we use the word guideline. We don't use standards or requirements, actually, because of that local control thing. So now having an ICAP is the beginning of graduating high school. So it must be revisited. It must grow and shape and evolve just with you. And that it doesn't also just lie within the counseling world. Now, because of that integration, it's in every classroom. It's aligned to other standard crosswalks. It's proving that we have less pregnancy rates. It's proving that we are increasing our engagement rate, meaning our attendance is up into our classrooms, because now there's more relevancy to why students are taking the classes that they're taking, and then they're staying in that class. They're showing up for that class. And we see walls drop between departments. Because now with that integration, which you probably will experience once you're having that happen on your campus in an authentic way, all of a sudden now you don't have a social studies department and an English department. Now you have a cohort of teachers that are piggybacking off of their lessons to incorporate how the world of work relates to what they're teaching. So that's ICAP in the state of Colorado.
And like Lauren said, it's just not the counselor's responsibility. She's come, in the fall and then just in February, I had my high school health science teachers together, and Lauren's presented at both of those meetings to talk to them that, you know, the counselors have a lot of students. It's much easier to do it within your own classroom, especially if they're very health career focused. You have a much better rate of students filling out those papers and looking ahead to what their course sequences should be, just not through high school, but then on to post-secondary. So
we're talking about being able to import ICAP and other formal programming across these five states into the hub, mm-hmm. at a point at which the student becomes a consenting adult and can allow that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not there yet. We're not sure how that's going to look, but the conversations have been going on for some time, and we're calling it, instead of ICAP, we're calling it Individual Career Plan, ICP.
Yep, they're all the same. I'm from Utah, and we used to call them SEOP.
What was that?
Student Educational Opportunity Plan.
They were calling them IEPs here for a while, and that's directly associated with
special ed.
Yeah. So, kind of, not the same.
Right. Nancy, did you have a comment?
Well, I'm just the outfits. It's Individual Career Action Plan.
Academic plan.
Academic.
I like that, but go ahead and interpret it as action plan. I would approve of that.
And you're saying that is required now for high school graduation. It's guidelines. It's
yes.
a guideline for high school graduation.
You got it. You got
and
it.
I think the biggest difference, like I said, from Utah, is when it was legislatively mandated in Utah, it came with a lot of money. So when they wanted, hey, if you pick up doing SEOPs, we're going to give you a lot of money. And so immediately, they jumped on it. Colorado?
No money.
Here's something new you have to do.
Yeah.
No money.
Yeah.
So. But even though it says guidelines, it's required, right?
Yes.
I mean, the high school.
But I'm never going to say that out loud.
Yeah. I mean, but
it's also connected to
reality
our,
for this room is
yes,
yeah.
The teacher evaluation. So it's not post-secondary connected, but our K-12 teacher evaluations does have ICAP connected to it. Mm-hmm. So it is showing that if a teacher is proving or demonstrating student growth, ICAP is actually an element that proves student growth. So that gives it more teeth as well.
I would say another place, if you want to go into those schools, you want to hit everybody, and some of our mandates would be that underemployed group, but the FBLA groups are probably really good to talk mm-hmm. with, because they're already involved with doing resume work and interviews and all kinds of business things. Anything in the nursing or nursing business, you're really encoding health management. Those would be really good too.
And we call those CTSOs, and that's where HOSA comes from. HOSA is our healthcare CTSO, and we do have we have job-seeking skills and different things like that. So they do overlap. And so we really promote HOSA within the healthcare industry.
And CTSO is Career and Technical Student Organization.
And HOSA used to stand for Health Occupation Students of America,
but
now we're international, and so now it stands for HOSA Future Health Professionals. And we here in Colorado, we have a lot of high school chapters, and they're growing into the post-secondary, and we actually just finished with our state leadership conference last week where they get to compete. That's kind of the icing on the cake for them all, and qualify, and they go to Anaheim this year. So there's always, last year was Orlando, so there's always some fun things to do. But yeah, the best alignment for health care is HOSA. So, and I can give you lots more information if you want that later.
Yeah, so another question, sorry, how do the colleges and high schools, how are they connecting? I mean, with our recruitment office, are they reaching, I don't work in a recruitment office. Do they know about this? Is there a way that we get those names of those students? I mean,
names of students, no.
Okay.
But are they aware and knowledgeable about career pathways and the career pathway model and how ICAP helps influence it?
And then specific colleges, like on the hub, is what you're talking about.
So right.
Research
right.
that.
They're getting there.
We're going to better use that information, Chrissy. Right now, I would bet that most career centers in the colleges are not tapping into that wealth of information that's being collected.
Wow.
And developed at this point. And maybe you're seeing some.
I would say career services, yes. Student services, no. So career services is on it.
What are they? Do you know what they're doing?
We do have a post-secondary ICAP work group that's being formed with at least 9 representatives from our community colleges, Pueblo being one. But then, because it's not a legislated thing, and because post-secondary does not have mandated models for advising, unlike our K-12 school counselors come in being trained on a national model for how they advise and counsel, whereas our post-secondary, not necessarily. So having to deal with the manner and pedagogy with which you advise being so different from campus to campus, and then integrate this K-12 initiative that you could definitely pull from and benefit, but doing it with some teeth, other than me saying, hey, it's a great idea, y'all. It's going to save your jobs, and it'll really help you really engage with your students better. It goes slow. But when it comes to career pathways, our career services group, as well as the members therein, are really on it. I mean, they're aware of they have to negotiate and figure out where the growth areas are, apply that to their advising, making sure that the faculty are engaged in that. How can the faculty be used as advisors as well? But I would say our student services are a little more leery on taking initiatives like Career Pathways and ICAPs or ICPs, Individual Career Plans, and using them in ways of recruiting, admissions, and scheduling.
We had a really hard time. We were in for a while, more from that workforce development side in our college. And talking, we were in schools for a while, and we have the handouts of showing the career pathways of or, and mapping of what they could be doing. And they tried, who knows what the real story is, but they tried to work with more of our admissions and the admissions rep, and they got really upset. And so they said, no, you can't go and hang out in schools and talk about whatever, because they were focused. They wanted to have their time. And we said, look, we just want to be that familiar face that's there every 2 weeks to come by. If you want to go into automotive, great. If you want to go into nursing, great. Here's where you need to go. So there was, it does get dicier. Who's in control and who's...
Well, and some of our colleges have made a connection with HOSA. And I mean, we had, 657 students that are all healthcare focused in one area. And they're now starting to say, hey, can we present a symposium? Can we have a table out? Let us, be able to talk to students about our programs. So we had a Front Range program. We had Community College of Aurora. We had our pharmacy school there. And so I think the schools are hearing about it and saying, okay, we've got all these career-minded kids in one area. Let's hit them. But it happens that we have CPSOs for all of our other areas, Skills USA, FBLA, DECA, TSA. And so I think it's huge that we really need to connect the secondary to the post-secondary and get out of those silos, because we see it here too.
The sector partnership is a good way to help begin to melt those barriers as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And the thing with our sector partners, which Judy had started to jump on, was inviting the secondary representatives. And so that's something I'm not seeing in the other sector partnerships, is that there's nobody there for the high school voice. Because right now most of our programs here are nurse aid, nurse assisting, and we need to expand our career pathways. You know, our students need to be exposed more in high school so they know what they want to do or not. You know, I mean, if they get, do CNA and they're like, I can't do this, okay, they're not going to go to nursing school. It's great. But, so we need to do that more, and we need to do it within all of our pathway areas.
So in the interest of time, who else can we throw the balls to to talk about your action?
Oh, she's using
it. Does that feel good?
Yeah. It works.
Get some balls.
Okay.
Good eye contact.
I need eye contact. Okay, my three were, the first one was the Career Hub to really get it out, because we have such a different group. I mean, my students come in and are gone in 8 weeks. I'm trying to figure out, and they're on their way to nursing school. So they are. They all kind of seem to know what they want. There's very few that are that confused. So I sent out an email to all of our current students. I meet with our students one-on-one. So I actually present it while I'm sitting there. I take a little postcards and explain. So at least they're exposed to it. Some are like, okay, I think I've seen a couple names going in there, so that was good. And we are getting ready for an event on, April. We're doing two open houses, and I will be at a table, and we're going to have hopefully a video up, and hopefully the Workforce Center is going to be with us, sitting right beside us. So we're going to do two open houses, and then we actually met with the Workforce Center, too. I presented it to the Workforce Center, to actually Gina and Michaela, the director of WEA, and then our VP from Red Rocks came, too, and so they've all, everyone's pretty excited to have it. So that's where we're going with the Career Hub right now. Another of mine was really trying to recruit more. I'm trying to... Gina and I worked on this a lot. We're recruiting people who might be interested, like caregivers, who would need to move on into a CNA, who might move on to that career pathway from there, too. So trying to reach out to, like, TANF, which has been very difficult to get a hold of. But we're doing an event coming up. We're going to do an information session with the Workforce Center, and TANF is, it sounds like they're going to bring their clients.
Yeah, they're excited about those opportunities.
So that one is happening. Project Self-Sufficiency, there isn't one at Denver, I didn't know that. I've left messages with Head Start. It's been really good talking to Matt Wade on the phone, the career guy that Maria set us up with, because he's helping me understand a little bit better how to reach people. I think people are inundated, especially in this area in healthcare with clinicals, and I want a recruiter, I want somebody to come talk to our students. I'm really working on trying to find the right people to connect with, because they leave a lot of messages and we don't get a lot of response. And then also, because of our program, our CNAs and they all get jobs pretty easily, and now we have our RN refreshers. We have our first set, our 12 RN refreshers right now. So another of my goals there was to reach out to employers. There are a lot of older women. They've been out for many years, some have never even taught. One of our students got pregnant after she finished nursing school and has never even been a nurse. So even as a career coach, I'm like, wow, how can I help these guys? So I'm calling hospitals, and so we've met. I'm going to have a meeting, hopefully one of these days after their Wednesday class. I want to bring a group of employers for our RN refreshers. And again, it's trying to reach out. And thank you. I owe her a big one. Denver Health was here today, and I have his card.
So how are you doing your marketing? How is that for your open houses?
Oh my gosh.
Is that through
It's actually through Red Rocks. Okay. We're working with, and then we have,
Sure, yeah. So the big, I think, injection for everybody in the room was the grant that went directly through the College of Colorado for the hub purpose. And so for Red Rocks, we're able to do some things that we normally couldn't do. Videos is one. Being able to advertise in the different nursing field magazines, really getting the word out for our two programs, our two program areas. And I think it's starting actually this week, and so we're really excited to see what the payoff is with that. And like Christy was saying, our two events with the open house, we're marrying that with our open house programs, which is really new to Red Rocks, that concept. And we're inviting not just prospective students, but employers as well. And I think that's going to be a pretty big step.
And that's huge. And by inviting the employer as well as the student, that makes a great connection.
Workforce, Christy and Gina have really been able to collaborate, I think, as Gina steps into that new role, we're excited to see who's going to be jumping in there so that we can continue this process.
She's no pressure.
Well, a big part of the marketing that's happening at Red Rocks and in most of our other colleges as well is click-through marketing on the internet, which is a pretty cool little way to handle it because you can track all of that and you know exactly who's going and how far, how deep into it they're going. And for example, out of the PCC click-through marketing, they were able to determine that 4,000 people actually went into the site, not just looked at it, but went all the way in. And so that's a really nice kind of analytics that you can't get with newspaper.
Right.
A lot of good phone calls with newspaper, but that click-through stuff, and I don't know anything about all of that business, but it's impressive. I'd like to know from Christy, too. I wonder, Christy, if you have considered having students register right there when you're working one-on-one.
Register for the CURHA?
No, I showed it to them, but I haven't required or...
That would be a good time to do that. And I know that Maria de la Cruz, who's sick today, that's how she handles it, and she's getting some pretty good response.
Well, one of the things I traveled to Pueblo's open house, to their hub event, and one of the things we want to mirror is have the opportunity to have a computer, a small little lab, so that the students that do come in that are already our students to log in and create an account. I think that worked really well for you all.
No, we wouldn't let them eat until they registered.
Right. Well, we came in, they signed it, you know, whatever. Go and see our lovely people that are just like there with laptops. Like, just have a seat right here for you.
And I think that's one of the things that I have. I'm a part of this this plan as well. Or one of the things I have ideas for sustainability is also, integrating and building out so that when Christy does leave, Christy isn't there full time or isn't permanent. She is full time and not permanent. Red Rocks, but really how to have the hub continue in the sense of, I think that's a good idea is really having the, not just in the geo classes, but in all the healthcare programs at Red Rocks, is how do we expand this opportunity so that students can jump on from day one. And I think that's one of the things that we're trying to work out right now. In my
right, and you guys probably tap in a lot to Warren Tech, don't you?
No, we don't, surprisingly, no.
Hmm. What did you say? Warren Tech, it's a technical center up in that. Red Rocks is their local college up there.
It's connected to the high schools.
Yeah. One of the things we did on the CNA program was we worked with the high school counselors because they always plan out the students for the year earlier than our registration. And so we got the names of those students that were interested in our CNA program. So we kept one class that was for them first. So we could book them in, because the minute we opened it up for registration, we had people at the door waiting to register. Yeah. So what
That's
we
ethical,
did,
right?
Yeah, so what we did was we knew they were coming in, we allocated those slots, because we could do up to 10 students, and often we filled that one class, that daytime class, with the high school students. And it was a great way for them to get the experience in healthcare, because if you don't like CNA, you're not going to like nursing, And one of the things we promoted was the fact that it helps you get into nursing if you're already a certified nurse assistant. And there's no regs in the state that say that 16 they can do.
16, yeah. And that's what we heard. It's a great stepping stone.
Yeah, no, not for the grant, but I'm just saying, for the program as a whole.
That's a good idea.
One of the things that Kristen had talked about is recruiting in the high schools, working for the, since we can't geo-specific go after high school students,
right.
but we can go after them right before they graduate so that they can jump into right. our summer classes.
Right.
So they have a summer job and going into college.
Exactly, yeah. But if you have those conversations early, there's nothing to stop you from blocking registration because we did it in our system. And we have eight locations, right, that could get in and reserve, but we did not open it until the day of registration. You know, it was pending because we already knew what was already coming out.
Okay, we're really short on time, so go ahead, Christy. Pass the balls.
Well, I think...
Do you want to stop?
Yeah, we're so short. Could we do a quick... And hopefully we're going to end each one of our facilitations in between the sessions today with a K, L, and M. But today, how about we just go to the L? Because you've shared a lot of what you know already. So maybe with just a word, one word, or one sentence. No run-ons. One sentence. What have you learned so far this morning? And you can do all comprehensive. Our discussion today, or the presentation this morning, or even your time yesterday. So far, what have you learned? Sue, I'm going to you.
You can touch the ball.
Collaboration is key.
You. Suzanne.
Going beyond the box. More life.
Yeah, I was thinking more regionally as opposed to just the greater metro area. Start going outside the area for a number of projects.
Beautiful. More than AHEC.
Transparency.
Connecting more with the high schools.
There's a lot of square states.
Fail on our part.
This is more about more about the community than the education process.
Thinking large to small.
Narrowing the focus.
And I just want you to know, next time we facilitate, I'm going to bring my cell phone up because that clock just does not move.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. This one does, and I can't see that one, so I
know. All right, we got one. For me, it's the other way, thinking small to big. And with a real example to me that we've learned from.
I'm agreeing with Sue about collaboration and the importance of it, especially with the LIBs, the colleges, lawyers, everyone, I guess, basically.
Collaboration. Careful. Eye contact.
Yeah, involving all stakeholders and makes strong partnerships.
Beautiful. The challenge through. You get extra points.
I think for me personally, it's seeing the forest and the trees and using you all, for example, as an opportunity to really help us wrap this up.
Mine would be an affirmation of all the good work that I know is going on.
Very cool.
I would have a question, and that is, what's the value of a credential with organizations like Denver doing their own training, and where's that heading?
I'll write that down.
So, excellent. Okay, sorry to those of you that we didn't get to.
We'll get to you.
Get to you later.
Okay.
They will be here throughout the day.
We're here all day.
Yes.
Thanks, everybody. Good work.